ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 20। नन्वेश व्रजस् तव शक्र तेजसा हरेर्दधीचेस्तपसा च तेजितः तेनैव शत्रुं जहि विष्णुयन्त्रितो यतो हरिर्विजय श्रीर्गुणास्ततः। नन्व एष व्रजस्तव शक्र तेजसा हरेर्दधीचेस्तपसा च तेजितः तेनैव शत्रुं जहि विष्णुयन्त्रितो यतो हरिर्विजय श्रीर्गुणास्ततः। नन्वेष वज्रस्तव शक्र तेजसा प्रभुस। नन्व तेजस्तव शक्र तेजसा हरेर्दधीचेस्तपसा च तेजितः तेनैव शत्रुं जहि विष्णुयन्त्रितो यतो हरिर्विजय श्रीर्गुणास्ततः। नन्व एष वज्रस्तव शक्र तेजसा हरेर्दधीचेस्तपसा च तेजितः तेनैव शत्रुं जहि विष्णुयन्त्रितो यतो हरिर्विजय श्रीर्गुणास्ततः। लेडीज प्लीज। नन्वेश वज्रस्तव शक्र तेजसा हरेर्दधीचेस्तपसा च तेजितः तेनैव शत्रुं जहि विष्णुयन्त्रितो यतो हरिर्विजय श्रीर्गुणास्ततः। नन्वेश वज्रस्तव शक्र तेजसा हरेर्दधीचेस्तपसा च तेजितः तेनैव शत्रुं जहि विष्णुयन्त्रितो यतो हरिर्विजय श्रीर्गुणास्ततः। ननु सर्टेनलि एषः दिस् वज्रः थंडरबोल्ट तव ऑफ योर्स शक्र ओ इंद्र Tejasa, by the prowess, Harehe, of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dadiche, of Dadichi, Tapasa, by the austerities, Cha, as well as Tejitaha, empowered, Tena, with that, Eva, Certainly. Shatrum, your enemy. Jahi, kill. Vishnu Yantritaha, ordered by Lord Vishnu. Yataha, wherever. Harihi, Lord Vishnu. Vijayaha, victory. Shrihi, opulences. Gunaha, and other good qualities. Tataha, there. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Indra, King of Heaven, the thunderbolt you carry to kill me has been empowered by the prowess of Lord Vishnu and the strength of Dadichi's austerities. Since you have come here to kill me in accordance with Lord Vishnu's order, there is no doubt that I shall be killed by the release of your thunderbolt. Lord Vishnu has sided with you. Therefore, your victory, opulence, and all good qualities are assured. Purport. Vritrasura not only assured King Indra that the thunderbolt was invincible, but also encouraged Indra to use it against him as soon as possible. Vritrasura was eager to die with the stroke of the thunderbolt sent by Lord Vishnu so that he could immediately return home back to Godhead. By hurling the thunderbolt, Indra would gain victory and enjoy the heavenly planets, remaining in the material world for repeated birth and death. Indra wanted to gain victory over Vritrasura and thereby became happy, but that would not at all be happiness. The heavenly planets are just below Brahmaloka, but as stated by the Supreme Lord Krishna, Abrahma Bhuvana Lokah Punaravartino Arjuna. Even if one achieves Brahmaloka, he must still fall to the lower planetary systems again and again. However, if one goes back to Godhead, he never returns to this material world. By killing Vritrasura, Indra would not actually gain. He would remain in the material world. Vritrasura, however, would go to the spiritual world. Therefore, victory was destined for Vritrasura, not for Indra. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhishta Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming for Saturday morning's Bhagavatam class. today is also our MSF, monthly Sankirtan festival, and the plan is to go to Chinatown to distribute Asian language books. So we have supplies of Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean books, and we'll all go together, chant Harinam and try to distribute books and meet some nice people out there. And because it is MSF, things need to get in order and some devotees have to organize last minute details. I'll try to keep this short. There are a couple of things. Particularly the last line, Yataha Harir Vijayaha Shrir Gunastataha. Gunastataha. Yataha means wherever. Wherever Harihi, wherever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is personally present, or whoever the Supreme Lord has, we say, favored, that person or that that person or persons are assured of few things. Vijayaha, which means victory. Shrihi means opulence. And gunaha, all good qualities. This is similar to how the Bhagavad Gita ends. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara, wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, and there's a whole list of things, of which Vijaya, Shri and Guna are also included. Now Vritrasura is glorifying Indra, that Lord Vishnu has sided with you. Although in the purport we understand that Lord Vishnu's grace is on Vritrasura as well. And in a spiritual way, Vritrasura is destined to go back to Godhead. Indra is destined to win and become the king of heaven without any enemies. And so it's victory for him as well. But the two victories are very different. So for us, this last line is important. Yataha Harir Vijaya Shri Guna Stataha. As devotees of Krishna, trying to practice sadhana bhakti under the auspicious teachings of Srila Prabhupada, for us these words Vijaya, Shri and Guna mean a little different. For a person who's still looking for material benefits within this material world, this line applies differently. For them, the Vijaya means to achieve victory in a material way. There's a competition and somehow they pray to Vishnu, because yesterday we heard Karmi means one who lives by the rules of the Vedas. And Vedas say that one should worship Lord Vishnu. But they worship Lord Vishnu for a different purpose, for a different outcome. The devotees worship Vishnu for receiving Vishnu's association, for receiving Vishnu's service. And the materialist prays to Vishnu for some material gift or outcome. So for them, victory means they may be competing in some situation, they may want to win something, and so they pray to Lord Vishnu. Or they want to overcome certain distress, they want to overcome some financial problems, etc. So that Vijaya is to win over the testing circumstance in a material sort of way. And Shrihi means opulence. In a few weeks, Diwali is coming up. For the devotees, the excitement is Govardhan Puja. For most other, we say Hindus, the excitement is Diwali. Because on Diwali, of course now no one cares for Diwali per se, but the whole purpose of Diwali is for persons to worship Lakshmi Devi. On that day they do Lakshmi Puja. Because everyone is after Lakshmi. Because when Lakshmi is there, wealth is there, everything else is there. And so Srila Prabhupada would often coach it, right? That Lakshmi Devi is a very chaste consort of Lord Vishnu. To invite her, but not invite Lord Narayana, is not proper. She won't come. And if you invite Lord Narayana, then Lakshmi Devi will automatically come, because she's always with the Lord. So Shri is opulences. Different people aspire for different kinds of opulences. Wealth is one, fame is another, beauty, strength, etc. We know Krishna is the embodiment of the six opulences in fullness. And different people aspire for that or for those opulences. They perform great austerities for achieving one of these things or multiple of these things. Some people, they spend so much of their time and energy building their muscles for gaining strength and fame. Some people spend so much of their energies in trying to enhance their beauty, etc. And some people, in this case, those who follow Vedic injunctions, they follow Vedic injunctions to achieve these things. And gunaha, good qualities. People like to have good qualities because others will like them. They want to be known as a good person. If you ask most people, what is your ideology in life, most people will respond as, well, I just want to be a good person. And I want to be good and I want to treat others nicely. That is how I want to live. But we don't know how to do that. Most people don't know how to do that. In the case of devotees, this line applies a little differently. Of course, wherever the devotees are there, there is success. There is no doubt. We see in the Bhagavad Gita, there is material success and spiritual success. I will qualify that a little bit. When Arjuna was getting ready to fight the Kurukshetra war, Duryodhana had taken away all of Krishna's armies. And Arjuna had only asked for Krishna to be on his side. So quantitatively speaking, Arjuna's army had 7 Akshauhinis of warriors, and Duryodhana's army had 11 or 12 Akshauhinis of warriors. So about 1.5 times bigger. And Duryodhana was all about quantity and numbers. And Arjuna was all about quality per se, because he had Krishna on his side, who, by the way, was said that he would not fight the war, he would not pick up a weapon. So for Duryodhana, he thought he would win this war because all the numbers favor him. Arjuna was confident because although the numbers did not favor him, Krishna was in his side. So we know that Arjuna won the war by Krishna's grace. So Vijaya means materially successful. Now, for some devotees, material success does not necessarily mean that they become very rich. In fact, there are many cases where Krishna very explicitly says that for a particular devotee that I show my special mercy, I take away all their wealth. So that from a worldly perspective, one may not be successful because the devotee may be monetarily impoverished. But still they're successful in this way, that their needs, or that the same things that the material world has to offer, they are now not interested in those things. This is success. Another way of seeing success is that a devotee is able to conquer the urges of the senses. Because according to Rishabhdev, a person whose senses are uncontrolled, that person is always defeated. Parabhavas tavad abhoda jata yavanna jigyasata atma tattvam. Parabhava means always defeated. Whatever they try, they're defeated. They're defeated because they're trying very hard to satisfy the urges of the senses. And Krishna describes that that urge is called lust. Dushpurena analena cha. That it's like feeding fuel to fire. It's not like the more fuel you add, the fire becomes weaker. It actually becomes stronger. So they're never able to conquer their senses. In the verses leading to Prahlad Maharaj speaking about the great benediction of taking the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, which we've been hearing about in the past two verses and classes, he starts with Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mito Bhipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Puna Charvita Charvananam. Adanta Gobir is those whose senses are uncontrolled. Those persons are subjected to, the only outcome they get is repeated birth and death, like Prabhupada says in this purport. Indra was destined to become victorious in the battle, but defeated in life. Defeated that you would have to take birth again in this material world. Take on birth, death, old age, disease, and just perpetuate that cycle again and again. So one may be victorious in a particular circumstance, but they may lose the battle of life. So sometimes, in this case, like Vritrasura, he is ready to die. He's going to lose this war, this fight. But his eyes are set on, or his vision is set on, the ultimate success. The ultimate success is to be relieved of this bodily entanglement once and for all. So a devotee has to carefully assess in every situation, what is it that I'm gaining and what is it that I'm losing. We may win an argument, but we may lose something else. Possible. So once we should evaluate, what is it that I'm gaining, what is it that I'm losing. Another is Shrihi. So Vijaya means the ability to win over the senses or the pushings of the senses. Shrihi is opulence. The great opulence that a devotee gains, among other things, just as the materialist gains opulences, the devotee also gains all these opulences. Plus, he receives the opulence of the association of his Krishna's devotees. Now on a day-to-day basis, we might not be able to fully appreciate what that opulence feels like. Because we are in the association of devotees, we don't sometimes fully appreciate it, cannot fully feel it. But it is one of the greatest opulences. It is the greatest opulence because our memory of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna, is somehow or the other enhanced. Sometimes when the devotees are not cooperating, we have to call out to Krishna. That is also the benediction of it. And sometimes when the devotees are very cooperative and loving, then also we remember Krishna. Because Rupa Goswami says, Yena Kenaba, this way, that way, doesn't matter which way. Remember Krishna. Yena kenava mana Krishna niveshayet. This way, that way. And Krishna knows which way to help us. If you're always thinking, devotees are always going to be very cooperative, they will exactly know what I want, I would always know what they want, they would always be smiling, jovial, embracing. Krishna shatters that illusion sometimes. Just so that we can remember Krishna better. And sometimes we think, oh, the devotees are going to be very upset. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh, Krishna, please help me. And somehow we see the devotees are very sweet and forgiving and say, oh, whatever, don't worry about it. However, for each one, it's a different pattern of things. Or in one sense, we can say that Krishna is not ordained by a particular pattern of behavior. Of course, he's fully independent. He can do what he likes. But in whatever he does, He is only interested in whether we can remember him, whether we can come to him. So he can manifest it whichever way. So the Shri is, we get the association of Krishna and the association of Krishna's devotees. So one of the greatest opulences in the spirit of what we've been talking about is the gift of chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And part of the, durdaiva midrusham, iha janina anuragaha, is that we don't understand the value of that gift. Although we read in the Nectar of Devotion, Krishna will not even hesitate for a moment to offer liberation to anyone. But pure devotional service, he holds it back. It is very rarely achieved. He doesn't give bhakti to anyone, because by bhakti he becomes purchased. He becomes a servant of the devotees, so he is careful. But we have been given the means. Means means sadhana. The word sadhana means. And sadhya means the achievement through the means, the goal of it. We've been given the holy name of Krishna, which, by the way, is Krishna's personal presence, because the name and the named are known different. But we don't fully appreciate that gift. There's a saying in English, do not throw pearls before swine. So our mentality is such that the greatest gift doesn't seem to have value. But we are asked by Rupa Goswami to just continue. The jaundiced condition of ignorance will go away progressively. Just stay and chant. Kintu anudinam adarat. He says, every day with great respect, chant. Great respect for the holy name. Great respect for the gift. Adarat anudinam, day by day. Khalu saiva jushta, khalu saiva, one who applies himself or herself that way. He says, svadvi kramat. Svadvi means one begins to get taste. Svadvi kramat, progressively, step by step. Tad bhavati gadamula hantri. That all of the jaundice that is affecting the liver, jaundice is the ignorance that keeps us bewildered, or keeps us away from Krishna. That ignorance is removed from its root. So the cure is not symptomatic. The cure is irreversible. It just says one has to apply oneself every day with great respect to remove that ignorance, so we can begin to appreciate, what is this gift? We begin to appreciate, wow, these devotees that I'm with, they may irritate me to the core, but still, they're devotees of Krishna. It's a gift. In fact, it means in bringing out they're helping us go within, search somewhere for a drop of some good quality to bring it out. Because normally that may not manifest. But when the devotees are challenging us, or they're difficult, it allows us to go within, to extract. Hopefully something is there. And if it's not there, it's a great call from Krishna. Chant nicely. Only because from chanting the qualities manifest. So the end of the result would be, I need to chant properly, because I don't have the reserves of... This is called Shri, the quality. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunas tatra samasate suraha. All the wonderful qualities of the Devo Mahatguna. Hara, harav abhakta. Those who are devoid of bhakti. Kutad asati dhavato bhihi. Because they're always riding, it's called the chariot of the mind. Chariot of the mind means whims. I'm not nice to someone because I don't like them. I'm dead, so I want to be nice. So I'm already crabby. And good qualities will manifest as long as things are working wonderfully for them. A little change of whole thing changes. we'll go to scriptures. Ravana. Amazing, because he would wake up very, very early to worship the Shivalinga. 10 million Shivalingas. But Manoratha, as soon as Surpanaka came and told him, you know, Apvins by the name Rama, he has a wife who is so upset. His mind was completely out of control. All his good qualities vanished. Completely gone. And from morning till evening, he was and make her his. Or we hear the story from Krishna book about Banasura. Banasura was the son of Bali Maharaj. He had 1,000 arms. And one time Lord Shiva was dancing the Tandava dance. So Banasura with his 1,000 arms played musical instruments for Lord Shiva. He was very subservient, offered wonderful service. Because Lord Shiva's dance is very complicated, it's not easy. And so when Banasura did all this wonderful musical accompaniment, playing all these instruments simultaneously, Lord Shiva became very pleased and said to Banasura, ask for whatever benediction you want. You'll become invincible. You have so much strength and all that. Somehow the fellow didn't know how to handle that opulence of benedictions by Lord Shiva. He asked Lord Shiva, you want to battle with me? I want to see if you and I are equals. And Lord Shiva chastised him. What a fool you are, you arrogant fellow. I am not going to fight with you, but one day your pride will be broken by Lord Vishnu. So he was waiting for that day when he will face off with Lord Vishnu. Manoratha, immediately all the qualities went away. As soon as he got them, I want to challenge Lord Shiva. Somehow Lord Shiva, by the time he gives blessings, he's the persons who he blesses, they want to challenge him. So very odd service for Lord Shiva. Later there's another story of Vrikasura. He does all these austerities, putting his flesh into the fire to appease Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva doesn't manifest. So he wants to cut off his head. This is great sacrifice. He wants to cut off his head and offer it to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva comes, whoa, hold on. What do you want? I want the benediction that if I put my finger on anyone's head, that person's head should blow up into 1,000 pieces. So be it. And then he said, I want to know if it works. Can I put it on your head? And Lord Shiva had, you know, had to run away, flee. And this guy was in hot pursuit until Lord Krishna had come and intervened. You know the story? So he appeared as a beggar, as a mendicant, as a young mendicant. And he asked Vrikasura that if I touch anyone's head, it will blow up into 1,000 pieces. So that little mendicant, because he was very charming and sweet, it said that his presence was very disarming. So he told Vrikasura, you know, Lord Shiva's benedictions usually don't work. He makes all these promises, but sometimes they don't manifest. Actually, nothing will happen. Even if you touch your own head, nothing will happen. Because he was so disarming. The fellow touched his own head and poof, that was the end of Vrikasura. So Manoratha is that as circumstances changes, our ability to manifest qualities goes away. The devotees are such that under any circumstance, however testing, however crushing it might be, they try to manifest those qualities. Of course, the disclaimer is, each of us has only certain capacity. And we need to learn where our limit is. Of course, that's for us. We're talking of the great Mahatmas, like the Haridas Thakurs. Oh, it didn't matter. How much ever they were tested, they did not budge even an inch from that position of manifesting the qualities of being completely devoted to Lord Krishna. Or Prahlad Maharaj, or Ambarish Maharaj or Parikshit Maharaj, etc. So Vijaya Shrir Gunas Tataha. So this is the special benediction that one who is or on whose side Vishnu is, or the presence of Vishnu in one's life or Krishna in one's life, brings about all these things. So by the gift of engaging us in pure devotional service, we have been guaranteed these things. It's only a matter of realizing it or allowing for these gifts to fructify fully. So we engage in everyday sadhana bhakti. Second is Prabhupada spent some time about the victory of Indra and the victory of Vritrasura. So materially speaking, Indra is going to win and Vritrasura is going to lose. And spiritually speaking, Vritrasura is going to win and Indra is going to lose. Our goal is to always consider things from a spiritual perspective, even at the cost of material victory. Here, Indra's victory is that he's going to kill Vritrasura and reclaim his kingdom as the sovereign power over the entire universe. And Vritrasura is going to die. His arms are going to get cut off. His head is going to get cut off and he's going to die. So it looks very gruesome. And one may wonder, if Vritrasura is a pure devotee of Krishna, why is he subjected to death like this? Why isn't he not sitting in samadhi and very beautifully leaving his body? For a devotee, they don't care how the release from the material body comes. That's not a consideration. Because this material body at the end of it is anyway going to be perished. A few verses ago we read, this body which is worth being eaten by jackals or vultures. In the case of Parikshit Maharaj, his end was he was going to be bitten by Takshaka, snake bird, and die. So it doesn't matter how death comes for a devotee. In some cases we see the death is very gory. You know, some devotees, they leave their bodies in like a major accident or something, suddenly in a car accident or some other way in a very gruesome manner. It's described that death externally looks the same for the materialist or a devotee. But the experience is different. Death is where the body is perished and the soul moves on to the next destination. But in the case of a devotee, they don't get too worried about it. It's described that it is like the tiger. When a tiger opens, tigress opens her mouth to pounce and kill an animal, let's say a deer. For deer, the mouth of the tiger is death personified. Because the tiger knows exactly to clasp the jugular vein and kill. It knows exactly how to do it. So a deer is in complete fear, becomes paralyzed. The same tigress opens her mouth and picks up her cubs and by the neck and takes them from one place to another place. And the cubs don't feel fear. They feel motherly affection. It's the same mouth, the same neck that it's being picked up by. But for one, it's the horrendous death personified. And for the other, it is affection. So for devotees, when death comes, we're talking of course, advanced devotees. For advanced devotees, when death comes, it's not a situation of fear. In fact, they offer very sweet prayers. One of Prabhupada's favorite verses that he would recite is from King Kulashekara. Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Adyeva Manusime Adyeva Vishatume Manasa Raja Hamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pitte Kantavarodhana Smaranam Kutaste. My dear Lord, let me leave my body right now, while my mind is playing at the stems of your lotus feet. Because who knows, when I'm old and my throat and lungs are filled with mucus and I'm coughing it up, that I might not be able to remember you at that time. It may not be easy. Or in the case of Bhishma Dev, on the battlefield, when Krishna had promised that he will not pick up a weapon, but when he attacked Arjuna, because there was a promise made, Krishna made a promise, he will not pick up a weapon, and Bhishma Dev promised, tomorrow I will fight in such a way that Krishna will be obliged to pick up a weapon and attack. I will try to kill Arjuna, because when I try to kill Arjuna, Krishna will definitely intervene. And so Bhishma Dev, with renewed vigor, was shooting arrows at Arjuna like anything. And Krishna saw this. Arjuna was not able to keep up. So Krishna jumped off the chariot, picked up a wheel. Interestingly, it's not a weapon, but he picked up a wheel, because he had promised he will not pick up a weapon. He picked up a broken chariot wheel, and with his arm raised, charged at Bhishma Dev to kill him. Now Bhishma Dev is also a pure devotee on the other side. So it's a little intricate pastime. And Bhishma Dev, instead of challenging Krishna, all this while he was challenging, it's described that Bhishma Dev shot many arrows that pierced Krishna and pierced Arjuna, and all of that was going on. But as soon as Krishna charged back, Bhishma Dev dropped everything and just stood waiting for that blow by which Krishna will relieve him of this body. So for a devotee, death is very different. For a pure devotee, it's not an issue of fear or lamentation or I still have stuff, I still need something in this material world. They don't need anything. Nikhilasvapi avastashu jivan mukta sa uchyate. That they may be engaged in all sorts of activities that look worldly, but they are completely liberated from the bodily conception of life. Now this is the real victory that as devotees we're trying to go after. That the things such as disease, old age and death which cause fear, that we learn how to become fearless. Because the Krishna's lotus feet are called Abhay Charanaravinda, the lotus feet where there is no fear. Fear also means that there is a concern we might lose something valuable in this material world. There is nothing valuable in this material world to lose. The only thing we should lament is if we hold something on. It's like, oh, how lamentable that I'm still holding on something that has no value, thinking it has value in this world. That is lamentable. Durdaiva Midrusham Iha Jani Na Anuragaha. I don't have the same attraction to your holy name as I have to things and worldly existence. So we're preparing. We're preparing in such a way that when the time comes, we don't know when it's coming. That's the pop quiz, I guess, from Krishna. It's a surprise. We don't know when it's coming. That whenever it comes, that we are ready. Now, Krishna gives once in a while a little test to see where we are. It's good for our own assessment. Some bad health or something that, you know, some injury or some loss, and we get to see for ourselves how we respond in those situations. And that's a good check. Oh, I have some more stuff to take care of here, right? I need to really become more serious in my sadhana bhakti, because even these things disturb me like anything. It is true, when our body becomes very weak, it's very difficult to chant. It's very difficult to remember Krishna. It's an indicator. Okay, we got some homework. We have some homework to do, like that. Okay, I'll pause here. Any comments or questions? So that's the real victory we're after. Yes, Bhakta Luke.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the discussion. You were mentioning that the holy name is such a wonderful gift of unlimited value. How can we realize there's no other activities that are more important than chanting Hare Krishna?
Are you asking the question, there's no other activity in terms of all other activities of bhakti? Or are you asking as from all the different engagements in life, there's no more something more important than chanting Hare Krishna and becoming a devotee?
Both.
Oh. Well, there are enough evidences in scripture. Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Hare Nameva Kevalam Kalau Nasteva 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 Gatiranyatha. I like this verse because this verse has application in Sanskrit and English. Because in Sanskrit it says Nasteva Nasteva Na Asteva. Right? There isn't another one, there isn't another one, there isn't another way. And in English, when you read it, it says Nasteva Nasteva Nasteva. Because all of the processes are nasty. There's nothing in it. Okay. Because everything else gives something material at best. And the chanting of the holy name, a lifestyle that's based on chanting of the holy name, brings out one's spiritual existence, one's real existence. Until then it's dream, pipe dream or some dream. And that's the verse quoted. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. So all the other things, paths, allow for becoming very good in the material world. That's it. That's the limit. And the real success is to cut through the material coverings and break all the material encumbrances. And within devotional life, Prahlad Maharaj gives us the 9 processes of devotional service. And he says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. These 3. All the other, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma, Nivedanam, are very essential to facilitate Shravanam, Kirtanam. So we don't drop those. We learn to do them in a way that our Shravanam Kirtanam has become better in quality as well and quantity. So Prabhupada designed it in a particular way. He designed it in such a way that all 9 processes of devotional service are nicely functioning, such that hearing and chanting, we get some taste from it. Just as is described in the 8th and 9th verses of the 2nd chapter of 1st canto, that by engaging in occupational duty, if one does not develop a taste for hearing, then that activity has nothing other than useless labor. Notpadedi ratim kshama eva hi kevalam vishvaksena kathasu. So it's useless labor in the sense that we want that from our activities of whatever it is, you know, worshipping the deities, cleaning, cooking, whatever those activities are, from it that it generates our taste for hearing and chanting. So it is to be done in the mood of service. That's the point that's described. Then it will bring the right result. But a devotee doesn't compromise one for the other. It's how one lives. Therefore, we say we follow Prabhupada's program. It's nicely developed for us. Just following is the required thing for us to do. He's designed it very well for us. This is how the morning is, this is how the day is, this is how the evening is, and we're in the day. So all nine processes of devotional service are active. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Niladri Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm wondering if Ritrasura had any personal enmity against the Devas, or he was just acting under divine will. Or...
Well, it doesn't say that he had any animosity per se, but he was created by Tvashta to be the enemy of Indra. Jai Jagannath Prabhu and I were talking about this yesterday. And after that I've been thinking about it. One of the things we say is when a child is conceived, of course how Vritrasura was conceived is a little different. Tvashta did fire sacrifice and all that, and he came out of the fire. We're still considered son of Tvashta. He's called Tvashtra. It is the consciousness of the parents by which the child develops certain qualities, generally speaking. It is what happens at the moment of conception. So at the moment of conception of Vritrasura, Tvashtra was upset with Indra because he had mercilessly and in a very, very heinous way killed Vishwarupa by cutting off his three heads. He had killed, yes, 2 verses ago we heard he had killed a Brahmana, he had killed the spiritual master, and he says, my brother. So he was created to be an enemy of Vishnu. So that's how he is acting. But spiritually, he is very well situated that I'm a devotee of Krishna. I may have this material duty or function to fight with Indra, but we say use the word swadharma. There's a material swadharma and a spiritual swadharma. So he's both are functioning. Just as Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, they all knew Krishna. Bhishma Dev was a devotee of Krishna, yet he was on the other side of the battlefield against Arjuna and Krishna. So in one sense we say it's arrangement of the Lord. For Indra to hear how a demon is acting, and he's going to speak some really amazing, he's already speaking, he's going to give more his realizations for Indra to hear. So Krishna is on both sides in that sense. If Krishna says, I'm namedveshyosti napriyaha. Indra wants this, he gets that. Vritrasura wants something else, he gets that. They both feel favored by Vishnu. Okay. Yeah, Ankit.
Prabhu, I have one more question.
Okay.
We see that in this pastimes, Indra seems to offend in a very gross way.
Yeah.
First he offended Brihaspati, and then he offended Vishwaru, and then Tvashta got offended because of that.
And this is sixth canto. By the time we come to eighth, he offends again Durvasa Muni. So yeah.
So it seems that every time he offends, he takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. But our philosophy is that when a devotee offends another devotee, he usually is not forgiven until he begs forgiveness from that devotee to whom the offense is committed. But in this, I'm trying to reconcile. And then in this case, we see that he offends in a very gross ways. He also sends women to cause fall down of others. So many things. He also sends women to cause fall down of others.
Okay.
So, and then he prays. And, you know, all the arrangements are done for him to get Dadichi's bones, create a weapon. So I'm just trying to understand how he's able to get away, you know, without...
Nice to know, right? We can also get out of it. But Indra does, it's not that he is free of reactions. He gets severe reactions. When Indra had offended Gautama Rishi by defiling his wife Ahalya, he was cursed. He was cursed to have eyes all over his body. You know, we have two eyes on our face and they look nice. But can you imagine having eyes everywhere on the body? And they're all blinking, how odd it looks. But that's how Indra is. If you want, look at the cover of the fourth canto where Indra is begging forgiveness from Prithu Maharaj. And that painting shows Indra has eyes all over his body. He was cursed. He was so lusty, have eyes all over your body. Because eyes agitate. And so you live a very agitated life. That was the curse. In this case, when he killed Vishwarupa, he got very severe reactions. And they were so severe that he had to share it with... he couldn't manage all by himself. So he gave it to land, water, the trees and women. Gave them something in return. But that very severe reactions. Yet, he's an exalted personality. He was performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, which is not easy. To take the post of Indra. So Krishna is punishing, at the same time forgiving as well. If only punished and not forgiven, then we have no hope. And if always forgiven without anything, that also we don't have any hope, we don't learn. So both are there. And what is he getting? Dadichi's bones to kill Vritrasura to become the king again. That's the point Prabhupada's making. That by killing Vritrasura, Indra would not actually gain. He would remain in the material world. He's gaining kingdom, but he's still in the material world. So he's not getting what Vritrasura is getting. That's the distinction. So in our activities, we consider what should we do and how we should do such that the outcome is not necessarily goodness or even high-grade goodness, but it's pure devotional outcomes. Spiritual outcomes. Okay. Ankit, you have something you want to ask?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada is writing that Indra would not actually gain, he would remain in the material world, and Vritrasura, however, would go to the spiritual world. He's seeing that Vritrasura is so much eager to die, he's even encouraging him to kill.
Yeah.
So, why his like intelligence is still not awakened that he's taking the pure bhakti and he's always like...
Why Indra's intelligence is not awakened?
Yeah. I mean, he's caught up with the sense gratification over and over.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Later. When Vritrasura is killed. So we'll wait. It says next chapter is Vritrasura's glorious death. Can we wait till we get there? No? Read up early, I guess. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.